Hey, if you want the latest and top stories, I want you to go to sarahacarter.com. That is sarahacarter.com. We've got the latest breaking stories and our own unique take on what's happening in the world today in our nation. Go to sarahacarter.com. You can also check out the podcast page, folks, and download The Sarah Carter Show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. So we have Attorney General, Arizona Attorney General, that is Mark Brnovich on today. And I'm very excited to have him on because he is holding Treasury Department accountable. Janet Yellen, he is threatening right now with a forthcoming lawsuit against Janet Yellen. And she basically threatened the state of Arizona to withhold funds over COVID funding because she doesn't want a republic. The Biden administration actually wants to federalize everything. They don't want our states to make their own decisions for themselves. How unconstitutional of them. So because of that, I saw the story at Fox News. It's also on sarahacarter.com. But the attorney general is warning Biden, the Biden administration, of legal action if funds are withheld over the state's COVID-19 policies. We saw what's happening. We're going to talk about that later in the show, too, in Great Britain. Right now, where Boris Johnson has just basically ended all the mandates. We're going to go into that later on in the show. We are also, folks, we're also going to discuss President Biden's like mega press conference disaster. Jen Psaki, I hear, was running to the West Wing restroom where she could hide out during that press conference because she was like, I don't even know how I'm going to get through this with the press corps when I'm up in front of them later in the day. I just don't even know what's going to happen. So Jen Psaki is cringing. President Biden is just rambling. He doesn't even know what he's saying. They probably didn't give him all of his medication. It was a complete mess, except in that mess, truth leaks out, right? Because Biden doesn't know what he's doing. So he's just saying things. We're going to talk about Ukraine and what the heck was going on with Biden during his press conference where he basically spilled the truth, the beans, out on Ukraine. I'm sure Vladimir Putin and everybody was very delighted that he updated them on what the United States plans to do. Also, President Biden suggests that the midterms might be illegitimate if we don't federalize the election. Basically, you know, they wanted to hold everybody accountable last election, right? Anybody who questioned anything, anybody who even brought up facts related to election fraud were called conspiracy theorists. But no, that's not enough. That's not enough. They want to federalize elections and take it away from the states. And basically, Biden is saying that the midterms might be illegitimate if we don't do it his way. We'll talk about that. And we'll discuss what those possibilities are and what that means with Attorney General Mark Brnovich as well. And I'll react to the British government scrapping of the mask mandate. Again, I'm going to tell you, this is the beginning of getting back to normal. And I believe that the British did this for a reason. And the United States knows everything that the British government knows because this is an intelligence issue as well as a national, as well as the National Institutes of Health, as well as the World Health Organization. All of the intelligence agencies across the globe are also looking at this. And the power grab is over. The American people know what's going on here now. We understand for the first time. And I'm sorry for all of you out there that were mask. You wanted the mask. You wanted to triple mask. You wanted to wear the masks and have a face shield. I mean, it's just not sensible. And it didn't really work against Omicron. So we're going to talk about that. Please follow and subscribe. Get all the links at sarahacarter.com. That is sarahacarter.com. And while you are there, sign up for our email list so that you don't get shadow banned. We don't want you to be shadow banned. Folks, as well, now is a critical time to be vigilant in the defense of our freedom. And you know who I'm going to talk about? I'm going to talk about AMAC. That is the Association of Mature American Citizens. They're a sponsor of my show. I think they are amazing and what they do to stand up for the principles of our nation. AMAC welcomes everyone. You don't need to be 50 plus. They will fight for you. Everyone who cares about the future of our great republic to join up and stand against this progressive agenda. There is strength in numbers, and those numbers are growing, folks. And together we can bring one clear, resounding voice to Washington, D.C. AMAC believes in fighting the good fight against reckless government spending and the ever-expanding scope of the federal government, helping small businesses, securing our borders, supporting our military. By joining AMAC, you are taking the first steps to saving the America that you love. AMAC offers an alternative to just about every benefit that that other group offers, but without a hidden liberal agenda. I stand with AMAC, and I hope that you will too. I encourage you to join today at amac.us/Carter. That's C-A-R-T-E-R. That's AMAC.us/Carter. The benefits and membership are great, but the cause is even greater. Join today at amac.us/Carter. So I just returned from Arizona, and I spent a lot of time in Texas and along the Arizona border and in California, and I have a really big story coming this week on Sean Hannity's show. So it is important to me that I kind of give you guys a little bit of an update on that, and I'll let you know that it's coming up. I can't give you all the details. What I can say is it's an exclusive interview, and somebody that within the Department of Homeland Security that wants to share the truth about the disaster that is happening on our border, how it is a national security threat to you and your families, no matter where you live. Look, this is not just about the U.S. border. I tell you this all the time. When I started covering the border in 2000, I don't know. I keep saying 3, 4, 5. I don't know. It was all in that time frame when I was at the Daily Bulletin in California. I remember for me, covering the border and you doing all of those stories wasn't about just for the local community. I would see how it affected our local community in California, but I also saw the national security implications on a bigger scale, right, across our nation, and what that meant to every single one of us, especially after September 11th, folks, especially after September 11th. And we are not in the clear. I mean, we saw even after September 11th, I don't know if you've all forgotten with all the crazy news that's been going on, right? COVID and my gosh, you know, the Biden administration, the Trump-Russiagate scandal. But let's not forget what happened at Bataclan in France, when the terrorists targeted in Paris, you know, the Bataclan theater, and shot people up in the middle of the streets, or Charlie Hebdo, or the Madrid train bombings, or the attacks in Great Britain. And I can go on and on and on, the attack in Normandy, or just recently, the terrorist attack at the synagogue here in the state of Texas. This is a very real issue. And I hope that we do all 3 days next week. We're, you know, Sean Hannity, we're doing the show, and it's, of course, always based on breaking news as well. But we are planning on doing multiple stories, multiple segments, where we're going to expose some of those national security issues from somebody that is tired of keeping their mouth shut, tired of not being able to talk. And, you know, my first job is to protect sources. I've always believed that, to be a voice for the voiceless and to protect my sources. And we're going to do that. And we're going to do that. But it's just that important that you understand that the situation at the border doesn't just affect California, Texas, Arizona. That this is across all of our states of our nation. We've seen what's happened with skyrocketing addiction rates, as well as, I believe, poisoning of our citizens, right? By fentanyl. So this is something that's important to me, something that should be important to you. And believe me, you are not going to want to miss this interview next week on Sean Hannity, Fox News. Remember, it's 9 p.m. Eastern time. That's Hannity at 9 p.m. Eastern time. I'm going to go on to talk a little bit about this crazy press conference that Jen Psaki was cringing in. I told you, I think I saw her run out the back. I know this West Wing of the White House, so she probably ran outside, ran all the way through the front door of the West Wing area, went off to the left, and ran straight for the bathroom down there where nobody would find her and just hit out, because I would have done that too if I would have been listening to Biden. You know, Biden basically, during his press conference, was like 20-something minutes into the press conference, gave Vladimir Putin the green light to invade Ukraine, as long as it's a minor incursion. Take a listen to this.
I think what you're going to see is that Russia will be held accountable if it invades. And it depends on what it does. It's one thing if it's a minor incursion and then we end up having a fight about what to do and not do, et cetera.
Oh, it's a minor incursion, just a little bit. They're just going to go in. Just a few troops are going to go in. They're going to try some of the food. They're going to hang out at the deli. Then they're going to go back. They're going to make a decision. And that's okay. You could do that, Vladimir. I think Vladimir Putin, the FSB, all of their generals, everybody's in charge of the whole Ukraine situation. They must have just listened to that and their mouths dropped. And they must have just said, wow, wow, just wow. Either they're complete idiots or this guy just let the cat out of the bag. Or this guy. This is, I mean, I just think they don't respect us at all. I mean, this is the reason why China's making all these aggressive moves. The reason why we've seen North Korea become so much more aggressive, right? It's different than when we were under Trump. It's so much different than when, you know, the way the situation was under Trump. You wouldn't see these maniacal leaders take these kind of bold steps. We actually saw North Korea back away. Now we're seeing North Korea amp up again with missile tests. We're watching what China is doing, threatening Taiwan. I guarantee you, there is a very high, I'm going to give it a 95% probability that Vladimir Putin is like, we're making a move. We're going to do it, because we've already seen their ships. We're seeing that from satellites, right? They're making their way. We've seen the border on Ukraine. We've seen the military amp up on the border, the Russian military. We're seeing other evidence of Ukrainian officials leaking information that Russian intelligence is on the ground assessing the situation. We're having a very difficult time getting information out of that. Now, Vladimir Putin wants one thing. It does not want Ukraine to sign on to NATO. It is adamant that if the Ukrainian officials make any move, if NATO makes any move, that's it. Because Vladimir Putin does not want NATO on its doorstep. Does not want it. But let me tell you this. Vladimir Putin is maniacal. He is a tough cookie who was in the FSB, the KGB. He originally started in the KGB and grew up, and all of his training from people that I've spoken with that have, like, in the intelligence community that have actually studied him, said that this is the kind of guy that wants people to know that he is in power, that he is in control. So believe you me, he does not want to lose control of Ukraine. But when you have President Biden basically saying, hey, look, it's going to be okay. You invade a little. We're still not going to do anything. Believe me, the United States is going to do nothing. Is going to do nothing if he even goes all the way into Ukraine. I guarantee you that. There is no way President Biden has basically given everything over to Vladimir Putin. Even the gas. Remember, it was not, I mean, it's not America first here, folks. For all of you, I don't think any of you that listen to me actually voted for President Biden, but if you did, you made a huge mistake, because this is a man and this administration who does not understand at all how to deal with these leaders of these nations. Iran, look at what the Obama administration did when Biden was vice president. I mean, they handed the olive branch to Iran right away. They handed the olive branch to Syria and Assad right away. Does anybody remember that? Do you remember with Obama? And, you know, you better not use chemicals. You'll be stepping over that line. I'm drawing a line. It's the red line. It's no line. It didn't matter. Because Assad did whatever he wanted. in Syria. And who's still in power in, oh yeah, Assad. Still in power. The Iranians still have a lot of control right now, and they're gaining more and more control in the Middle East. We've seen their power in Iraq. We've seen what they've been able to do in Syria. Israel's working, I mean, I think double, triple time just to keep them at bay. And now we have the Russians, you know, with Ukraine, and we have the Chinese moving into Taiwan. And we've seen what the Chinese have done across the board. I've been talking about it on the show for a while now, and how they're moving their power across the globe, right? And even with COVID. You know, I know all of you out there, you're just like, oh, it's not a China virus. No, it was a Chinese communist virus. That's absolutely correct. Came right out of the Wuhan lab. And not only did they lock down their own people and continue to lock them down, but they locked them down for purposes way beyond COVID. When the people rose in Hong Kong, they locked them down. They arrested them. I know that. I was talking to people on the phone in Hong Kong. People with CPAC, Matt Schlapp and Mercedes Schlapp and other people who were working with there, Dan Schneider and everybody who visited Hong Kong during the uprisings. They watched with their own eyes. I was actually in Japan at that time. What was happening and how the Chinese were infiltrating. And people were disappearing. And they're continuing to disappear. This administration, as much as I, you know, I'm like baffled and I laugh and I talk about Jen Psaki running to the restroom and hiding out and, you know, diligently writing her notes because she's going to have to make up some shit to cover up for President Biden. That's just a fact. That's just a fact. I want you to listen to this. CNN's Matthew Chance tells Jake Tapper that Ukrainian officials are shocked and horrified by Biden's comments. I would be too if I was Ukrainian.
Were Biden's remarks interpreted there as a less than wholehearted warning to Putin to not invade?
That's an understatement. I mean, they watched those remarks, I think with horror. One Ukrainian official who I've been in close contact with while this marathon press conference is underway said that he was, you know, I'm quoting here, shocked that President Biden would give a green light to Vladimir Putin in this way.
That's what he did. Jen, I'm going to give Jen some advice. I mean, I know you're going to have to say whatever you have to say, Jen Psaki, but none of those officials in Ukraine are going to buy it. They're not going to buy it. They already know that this is the policy, the behind the scenes policy that was leaked out by Biden. This is the reason why you guys don't let him have press conferences. You know, just come out. Tell the truth. Remember where they were going to invoke the 25th on President Trump? Remember that, guys? These are the same people. These are the same people. Everything they wanted to do to Trump was because they themselves were doing it. Hillary Clinton with the fake dossier, Christopher Steele, Fusion GPS, on and on and on. Perkins Coie, the law firm. I mean, all of this setup, right? And remember Rod Rosenstein and remember James Baker, who was the top dog, the top lawyer at the FBI, top lawyer at the FBI, tells Congress, look, it was Rod Rosenstein and others who wanted to invoke the 25th and remove President Trump for not being mentally stable. Look at Biden. Look who they put in office. Look who's in office. Look who the president is right now. They don't know what to do with themselves. We still have 3 more years. 3 more years of this. We have Kamala and Kamala, and we have Biden. And I'm telling you, it's the people behind the scenes. The people behind the scenes that are dealing with this right now and dealing with this fallout. But they're the ones that are manipulating everything. And believe me, the Ukrainian officials, and I have dealt with Ukrainian officials on multiple levels. And I remember the very first time in Maidan, when in the square in Maidan, the Ukrainians, I almost was in Ukraine during that time. I wrote numerous stories. I was actually with The Blaze at the time, at Glenn Beck. And the Ukrainians were terrified. And what happened? The Russians were allowed to do everything they wanted. And they did so in Georgia as well, under the Obama administration. And the Ukrainians are suspicious now. And they are suspicious for a reason. They are suspicious for a reason. I want to play you this quick clip. This is where, and I'm going to switch subjects here really quickly, because this is about the midterms and how Biden is saying that if we don't pass a bill to federalize elections, that our midterms will be illegitimate. I wonder if Twitter has suspended him yet for saying that there's a possibility of voter fraud. Take a listen to Biden right here.
Do you think that they would in any way be illegitimate?
Oh, yeah, I think it easily can be illegitimate. Imagine if, in fact, Trump has succeeded in convincing Pence to not count the votes. Imagine if...
In regards to 2022, sir, the midterm
elections. Oh, 2022. I mean, imagine if those attempts to say that the count was not legit. You have to recount it, and we're not going to count. We're going to discard the following votes. I mean, sure, I'm not saying it's going to be legit. It's the increase in the prospect of being illegitimate is a direct proportion of us not being able to get these reforms passed.
It's incredible, you guys. I want everything that they're saying is what they did. Everything. This is what's so incredible about this. We're going to talk to Attorney General Mark Brnovich about that and so much more. But first, before we get to him, I want to tell you why I love MyPillow products. First of all, because Mike Lindell is a real American patriot and somebody who cares about this country and puts this country first. And I've spent a lot of time talking to you about MyPillow, but now, you know, Mike has done it again. He's introducing the new My Slippers. I've talked about this before, but it's his newest product. It's phenomenal. You guys will definitely thank me if you order this for your family and friends. I've done it for my children. I've done it for my husband. I've done it for me. You get 40% off the new My Slippers now if you order now, okay? 2 years in development to ensure the highest quality and comfort for these slippers. You can wear them indoors and outdoors. You can get them in moccasin or slip-on style. There's a ton of colors to select from. And for a limited time only, Mike is offering 40% off his new My Slippers. So go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener's square. Enter the promo code Carter, that's C-A-R-T-E-R, or call 1-800-685-7221. That's 1-800-685-7221. While you are there, take advantage of the deep discounts on all MyPillow products, okay? Including the Giza Dream bed sheets. I've talked about those. They're amazing. The MyPillow mattress topper and the MyPillow towel sets. You can only save 40% with the new MyPillow slippers by using the promo code Carter, though. You can only save 40% on the new My Slippers with my promo code Carter. Call 1-800-685-7221 or visit MyPillow.com. Without any further delay, I'm going to bring on Arizona Attorney General Mark Brnovich with the breaking news on Janet Yellen and her threats to the state of Arizona and his never-ending battle against the Biden regime. Attorney General Mark Brnovich, thank you so much for being back on the Sarah Carter Show from the great state of Arizona. You have been really causing a firestorm. I'm excited you're willing to stand up to the Biden administration. So we're going to talk about that and your recent trip to Qatar. But first, thank you for being here with me today. I know you're busy.
Thank you so much, Sarah. Thanks for having me on. Thanks, everyone, for listening.
Oh, yeah. So let's just start off with something that people might not know. You were actually in Qatar. You tell me about that visit. Why were you there? I've been there before. It's unbearably hot, but very interesting.
Yeah, it actually reminds me a lot of Arizona. You know, the summers are obviously very, very hot. And, you know, the winters, it can get very, very cool. But I was there as part of a bipartisan delegation through the Attorney General Alliance. And we had visited with the Attorney General of Qatar, we had visited with the Justice Minister, and we met with other officials to discuss not only issues related to law enforcement, but, you know, Qatar is hosting the next World Cup, and, you know, places like Arizona, and my colleague Todd Rakita from Indiana was on this trip as well, and, you know, they're used to hosting the Indy 500 and big events, and so We were talking about how that can impact communities and how law enforcement deals with that, what you can do proactively. And also, you know, when you get that many people coming in from so many different countries, you know, how do you deal with law enforcement issues, you know, issues related with even public drunkenness to human trafficking, which obviously is a big, you know, important issue for all of us, no matter where we live. And anytime you have these global events, Sarah, you get people coming in from all over the world, and that inevitably attracts crooks and con artists and human traffickers. And so we were talking right. about a lot of the issues that we have in common. And we also had the opportunity to visit, you know, the airbase while we were there, the largest airbase in the Middle East. And we got to visit a refugee center as well. And, you know, obviously Qatar has been in the forefront and at the center of helping the United States and helping those being evacuated from Afghanistan and those fleeing persecution of the Taliban. A lot of them have ended up in Doha. And so we visited a refugee center as well.
That's really interesting that you had a chance to go to that airbase, Al Udeid Airbase. I was there during the war, and I had to sign all of these disclosure documents, like that I would not, non-disclosure, that I would not talk about certain things if I've got to go on the base. It was a very secretive base during the war, especially from Iraq through Afghanistan. And I had a lot of just recently people that I do know from Afghanistan that went through Doha on their way to the United States. One of the big issues, and you brought it up, is is actually the World Cup and the not just human trafficking, but this idea of having cooperation between our government, between the Qatar government and the United States when it comes to terrorism. We just saw with what happened, you know, at the synagogue, that there are still terrorist organizations operating and terrorists out there that are dead set on targeting the West. I believe that wholeheartedly after all my work in the Middle East and seeing it for myself. What did the Qataris say anything to you about working with the United States in cooperation and trying to maybe continuing to grow that relationship, intelligence relationship, to assist us in maybe targeting? Or because, I mean, there's a lot of issues with Qatar, too, with the, you know, with the Persian Gulf, and you never know exactly what you're dealing with. I mean, were they open to that? Did they talk about that at all?
Yeah, well, without a doubt, that is a very rough neighborhood. And as you just indicated, there are people, even in that region, that mean the United States harm. Fortunately for me, everyone that we met with officially, even unofficially, you know, you go to a restaurant or a coffee shop, everyone there seemed to be very receptive and open to the United States. They want to have a great relationship with the United States. It's one of the reasons why a bipartisan group of attorneys general were there meeting with, you know, their justice officials and their attorney general, discussing issues that we have in common, including not only issues related to human trafficking and criminal activity, but also, you know, issues related to money laundering. And so everywhere I went, whether, like I said, it was a government official or, you know, individuals at the coffee shop, everyone wanted to have a good relationship with the United States. And, you know, I've been to other parts of the Middle East throughout my life, and it was good. It was good to see so many people saying that they respected what the United States was doing and that they wanted to maintain their own sovereignty, but they still wanted to work with the United States in a collaborative effort where we have those mutual interests. And whether that's, you know, helping with refugees, whether that's vetting those refugees, or whether it's also helping us in the war on terror and making sure that we are working together collaboratively to go after those that mean us harm.
Absolutely. And I think that for the governments, whether they're monarchies or other established governments in the Persian Gulf, they are very concerned as well about their own security and their own nations, because obviously they're connected to, they're global. They're globally connected with Americans that, you know, living in their countries, working in their countries, and they don't want those issues either. So I think that's awesome that you were there along with other attorney generals to kind of build on those relationships. I want to talk to you about, though, the relationship with the Biden administration. And I don't mean to laugh
at that.
That
one's not good.
I don't mean to laugh because it's crazy. It seems so much worse. It seems like you would have a better time going to Qatar and communicating even better with them than you would with, like, let's just say Janet Yellen, right? The Treasury Secretary. You know, she threatened on behalf of the Biden administration to basically withhold funds from Arizona over the difference in your COVID-19 policies and the mandates. You have then threatened to take them to court, right?
Yeah, and you know, Sarah, we have been on the forefront of pushing back against the overreach of the Biden administration. And you and I have talked about how important federalism is in reminding folks that the states created the federal government. The federal government didn't create the states. And the framers understood that. You know, and, you know, Madison wrote in the Federalist Papers, and he described the notion that there's a system of checks and balances, not only between the executive, the legislative, judicial branch, but also the states were supposed to serve as a check on the federal government. Because as government becomes bigger and bigger and bigger, it becomes unresponsive, it becomes inefficient, and it becomes despotic. And that's exactly what the framers were worried about. And so when we take these fights on against the Biden administration, and previous to that, when I was involved in litigation against other federal administrations and federal government programs, it's all about, does the federal government have that authority? And if they do have that authority, are they exercising it properly? And remember, the Constitution is less than 8,000 words, even with amendments. It was designed, the federal government was designed to be a government of limited and delegated powers. And so, unfortunately, we've had for the last 50 years in this country, more and more concentration of power in Washington, D.C. And as a result of that, there's more and more infringements on our liberties. And so,
very few states, Attorney General, very few states that are willing to stand up and fight back. I mean, I think I'm surprised that, you know, the amount that have joined you, but we're still seeing so many states where the governors, where their own attorney generals have seceded to the federal government, you know, all of their rights.
Yeah. And the thing is, Sarah, it's this to me is the kind of checks and balances that demands 50 checks and balances. That is all 50 states. And so, you know, I would remind, you know, the folks that are either Republicans or Democrats in other states that, you know, eventually, you know, once you cede this authority to Washington, D.C., you're never getting it back. And, you know, this latest threat by the Biden administration involves education. And, you know, I've raised this question many a time is that, you know, why do we have the federal government doing so much when it comes to education? I mean, education was clearly something that was supposed to be left up to localities and even to the states. It's not a Washington, D.C. problem. And as a result of that, when you let Washington, D.C. in and then they dangle all this money over the states, you end up with, you know, administrations trying to subsidize critical race theory or trying to mandate vaccines and masks in schools. And so that's where you get those unintended consequences. And, you know, we need to be pushing back very strongly on this. And, you know, just last week, Sarah, and the media is not covering this. Last week, we had an argument at the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals about Secretary Yellen and the Biden administration saying that states that got COVID relief money can't cut state taxes. And this, once again, is an important concept on federalism. You know, I ask you, I ask everyone listening, why is it that the federal government can send out $1,400 stimulus checks to people, but the state of Arizona can't cut taxes by $1,400? And I would submit to you is that's because it's all about a concentration of power in Washington, D.C., and the Biden administration and the progressive left trying to get as many people as possible dependent on that central authority.
So let me ask you this. How serious of a situation are we in right now? Because even when I talked to Attorney General Ken Paxton, he was talking about what was happening here in the state of Texas, my home state now. I mean, there is a real fear that the federal government's, I guess, tentacles have interwoven so deeply into our state system that other than a few states trying to fight back, if the Biden administration got their way, they would take all power.
Yeah, I think this is the progressive left and, you know, the neo-Marxist dream has always been about that, you know, concentrating that power. And then you'd have that elite, you know, progressives, you know, the people that they think are the smart people basically running the economy and running our lives. And so this is something that's, you know, Marx and, you know, the progressive movement 100 years ago was really into. And we have seen that historically, what it ultimately does is lead to tyranny and oppression. And, you know, so we as the people, it's a republic if we can keep it. And that's all about pushing back and decentralizing power and not letting, you know, unelected bureaucrats make economic choices for us, or not letting the Biden administration trying to socialize our economy, nationalize our elections. And now they basically want to, you know, control our local schools. And so I think these are very, very dangerous times. And, you know, not to get too political here, but it's one of the reasons why, you know, I'm running for the Senate. I don't like politics. I think Washington, D.C. is where good ideas go to die, Sarah. But at the end of the day, we need people in D.C. to say, this isn't the job of the federal government. We shouldn't be doing this. And there's not enough people in Washington, D.C. that understand it's not the role of the president and Congress to try to solve every problem in Phoenix, Arizona, or Pine Top, or Sierra Vista, Arizona.
Right. It's the role of the people of that state and those who represent the state in Washington to do that. And well, speaking of which, I know you don't have a lot of time, so I'm going to try to get through all of these questions with you.
Right.
President Trump was in Arizona last weekend. Looks like he's a big supporter of yours. I mean, I see him out there in photographs with you. And, you know, obviously, we are watching a big shift in the GOP right now, too. I mean, the most recent polls show a jump, at least, I think, when I was talking to my producers, he was saying about 14% from where the Democrats were before and to where the GOP is now. I mean, more people moving to the Republican Party, aligning themselves with the Republican Party. I think it was a 5% jump in the most recent poll. Do you see that as a reaction, like a backlash to what's been happening with this Biden administration over the last year? And okay, let's answer that. And then I want to ask you about Trump.
Okay, well, I think that clearly, if you look at what's happened historically, the off-year election favors whatever party is not in power. So there's always a little bit of, you know, wind at your back whenever it comes to being the opposite party of whoever the current president is. So there's always a little bit of that dynamic. But I do think that President Biden has been the worst president in this country since at least Jimmy Carter, and probably the worst president, at least in the last 100 years, maybe in the history of the United States. And so when, you know, hardworking American taxpayers go to the pump and they're saying, oh my goodness, why am I paying so much for gas? And then it's like, oh, wait a minute, the Biden administration is, you know, doing all this green energy crud. They're, you know, canceling pipelines. They're making it harder to get those for America to become energy independent. So that has an impact on the price of fuel. You look at the price of, you know, food, groceries. Anybody that's bought milk or meat lately knows as the prices are rising. So it doesn't matter what the Biden administration and, you know, the pointy-headed eggheads are saying on the East Coast. I mean, people are living with this reality of, you know, rising prices. And then you throw on top of that, Sarah, what's going on with our own security, not only economic security, but our personal security. And whether that's the chaos at our southern border where, as you and I have talked about, more than 2 million people illegally crossed our country this year, and people are being released from prisons and jails that have either been accused or convicted of crimes. And then you just see what's going on, this lawlessness in places like, you know, Chicago and LA and San Francisco, all these cities run by the progressive left where people are no longer secure in their own homes. Well, they can't even go shopping without getting rolled. I mean,
right,
so it's a problem.
And it's not just in the cities. Attorney General, it's actually in the airports. TSA, my good friend Jenny Terre, who worked with me for over 3.5 years, is now at the Daily Caller, broke a story at the Daily Caller that the TSA is actually taking people's warrants for their arrest and using it as a legitimate identification when they go through airport screening.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I wish I could, you know, could we show a warrant? Can an American just walk on an aircraft with a warrant in their hands? Yeah, I'm wanted. By the federal government, but I'm using this warrant to fly on your plane. I mean, this is absolutely insane. Let me ask you this. Trump was in Arizona last weekend. You met with him. What did you guys talk about? What was he focused on most? And did he tell you he was running in 2024?
We're going to have to save
throw that one
next
in there
podcast,
at the end.
Sarah.
That's going to have to be
for the next podcast.
Oh,
I will tell you what.
Man, I thought I would just slip that in, kind of like an interrogator, you know?
Yeah, so you're going to have to waterboard me because a gentleman doesn't kiss and tell. So,
exactly.
You know,
I'm fortunate enough
to have a lot of conversations with a lot of folks. And so I appreciated our visit.
Oh, good, good. What did he say anything to you that was like, that you can talk about publicly? Like, Mark, please run for the Senate.
I'm so happy
you're running for the Senate.
Yeah. Next podcast, we're going to have to talk about all that.
Oh, okay. Next podcast. You see, I can't get anything out of him. Listen, President Trump, this guy keeps his lips sealed. Nothing you tell him, it just doesn't come out. It just doesn't. I'm going to ask you about this. What's your reaction right now to Kyrsten Sinema and the filibuster?
First and foremost, the filibuster obviously serves a vital and important role. And, you know, our system, once again, our system of government is designed to protect against the tyranny of the majority. And so one of the ways that that is done is through the filibuster process in the U.S. Senate. And, you know, remember, the framers didn't want, you know, this not only tyranny majority, but they didn't want the Senate to move fast. I mean, right. You know, they wanted it. I think it was Madison that described it as the saucer where the milk or the tea goes to cool. And so, you know, I think it's important to kind of pump the brakes sometimes on some of these radical ideas the Democrats are proposing. And make no mistake about it, they are. I mean, nationalizing elections is an attempt to undermine Brnovich v. DNC, which is the case I argued at the U.S. Supreme Court last year that allows states to enact election integrity measures. And so I think Kyrsten Sinema is kind of crazy to me. I think it's emblematic of the state of the Democratic Party in America today. I mean, Kyrsten Sinema at one point, you know, described herself as a socialist. I mean, she was active in the Green Party. And, you know, now she's the voice of reason in the Democratic Party. I mean, it's kind of crazy in some ways how far left the Democratic Party has shifted. And I think we all need to take a step back because they're still talking about spending trillions of dollars that we don't have that's going to have a devastating impact on our economy. They're still talking about raising taxes on people. And so, you know, there's still these progressive left ideas. So let's not, you know, turn anyone into saints at this point. But I do think that it was important for her to stand up for those principles. And I think it's important because Arizona has always, I think, had a rich tradition of having senators that aren't afraid to speak their mind. And even when you disagree with them or you agree with them, you know, they're always going to they're going to shoot straight with you.
That's a great point. And also her constituents, your constituents, possible future constituents. Yeah. I want to ask you this because I know you. We've talked so much. You know, I consider you a friend. I consider you somebody who stands for the principles of this nation and you have integrity. But I'm going to ask you this. Because just stepping it, taking a step back, there are other Republicans running, you know, looking at the same, vying for the same seat in the Senate. What separates you from the rest of the pack? Why should people be focused on putting their ballot for you come this election?
Well, Sarah, I think that I epitomize Arizona values. You know, I'm not somebody that, you know, is being funded by out-of-state hedge fund billionaires or made a living living off federal subsidies. You know, I grew up here in Arizona. I'm a public school kid. As you know, I'm a first generation American. And I think that when your family has not just read about history, but lived history, you have this appreciation for freedom and liberty and how it's not something that, you know, we just talk about. It's not something that we pass on to our children through our veins. It's something that must be fought for. And the people that know me here in Arizona know that I'm a fighter. I mean, so a lot of people are out there, they can talk and they can chirp and they can say this, that, and the other thing, but what have they actually done? And I have been on the forefront of every important case in this, you know, over the last few years, last decade. I have, you know, been a consistent rule of law conservative. And I think that people appreciate that. People appreciate the fact that for me, it's always about the rule of law and it's about doing the right thing in the right way. And I think too often in politics, and I'm not saying anything about anyone else running for any other office, but too often, people get turned off because people say one thing and then they do something else, or they get in and they become drunk with that power in DC because they haven't had that experience of being through fights and being principled. And so I think Arizonans appreciate the fact that I not only talk the talk, but I walk the walk, and I represent, I think, the best of Arizona values.
Yeah, I do too. You know, as far as like when you think about the state and you think about the importance of a republic, and why each state needs to have its own independence and someone to fight for it and represent its constituents. I 100% agree with you on that. And this is going to lead me to my last question. I don't know if you have time for this. I know I'm making him late, folks. Everybody out there, I can feel it. I feel the tension. But, you know, Democrats are accusing Republicans right now of basically destroying democracy unless legislation is passed to basically federalize all these elections. And in particular, of course, the midterm elections. Biden was saying that the midterms could be illegitimate if his legislation doesn't pass. I'm terrified of that. What is your answer to President Biden in a nutshell about federalizing elections?
First of all, it's a bad idea. It's completely contrary to, you know, the U.S. Constitution, which provides that time, place, and manner of elections is to be left up to the states. And, you know, I just literally argued the Brnovich v. DNC case last year. And so, you know, once again, people talk about things, but the case, literally the most important election case in a decade, at least, maybe a generation, is named after me because I stepped into the breach and I was willing to stand up to defend Arizona's election integrity measures, including our limitations on ballot harvesting and out-of-precinct voting. And the left tried to attack those, you know, election integrity measures as being racist and the same things Joe Biden is saying now. And I thought it was important to push back with the facts. And so, you know, for example, on out-of-precinct voting limitations, a majority of states in the District of Columbia have that same limitation. In states like Arizona, we allow nearly a month of early voting. You know how many days they allow in Democratic state like New Jersey? 9. How many do they allow in Republican state like Georgia? 18. How many do they allow in Biden's home state of Delaware? 0. I mean, and then you look at these states like Arizona and Georgia where we have no excuse absentee balloting, but in the Northeast, Massachusetts, Connecticut, all these states run by the left, you need some bureaucrat to approve whether you're going to vote by mail or not. So there's all sorts of intellectual inconsistencies with the left. And what we need to do as principled rule law conservatives is push back with the facts and point out and demonstrate the utter hypocrisy of the Biden administration. And I always tell folks, even young folks when I'm speaking, that we have to be twice as good because so much of the mainstream media has been co-opted by the left. Academia, and you know I've sued our universities, academia is essentially controlled by the left now. And so we have to make sure that we have all of our facts, that we are consistent in that information, and we have to be willing to stand up for those principles and be willing to defend them literally all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court, as I did, if necessary.
Wow, this is why you're on the show so much. I feel like every time I listen to you, I learn something new. And I'm ready to get out there and fight. You're leading the battalion out there in the right way, you know?
The brigade,
and,
the Brnovich Brigade.
The brigade. That's right. The Brnovich Brigade. My husband would be so mad. He'd be like, why a battalion? A brigade. Honey, a brigade.
There you
He's
go.
He's in the military. Anyway,
it could be a division at one point.
That's actually true. That's actually true. I know I'm making you late. Thanks so much for being on the show.
You're the best, Sarah. Thank you.
That was great. I am going to bring back Arizona Attorney General Mark Brnovich on the show again because, my gosh, he is like one of the few attorney generals that continually is taking the fight to Washington and standing up for his constituents. I think it's great. We'll just keep up on his, you know, run for the Senate and everything else. But before we go any further, I want to talk to you about the stock market. You all know how volatile the stock market is. Mainly because we have an administration that is out of control, looking to increase our taxes, pandering to China, and mislead you about inflation. It's scary, actually. It's far worse than the few mean tweets that came out of Donald Trump's time in office, right? So Universal Coin and Bullion is offering a 1 ounce pure silver tribute coin. This is to honor better financial times to America's 45th president, Donald J. Trump, and it's going to be at their cost. You'll get a pure 1 ounce silver coin honoring former President Trump at the same price Universal Coin buys it from their vendors. Think about that. Throughout history, silver and gold have been a hedge against inflation and a guaranteed asset you can turn to when times are uncertain. And with Biden and Harris in office, the uncertainty seems to be getting worse, folks. Diversify your portfolio and add silver, pure silver Trump coin to your investments. Now, and guess what? It's postage free. Call 1-800-UCB-GOLD. That's 1-800-UCB-GOLD. Their professional staff, led by America's gold expert, Dr. Mike Fulgens, are waiting for you to call at 1-800-UCB-GOLD to get your pure silver President Trump tribute coin at dealer's cost. Okay, let's talk about the British, right? Lifting the mandate on COVID, all these rules, these crazy rules. I mean, Great Britain was really tough. In fact, it was just as tough as Washington, D.C. and California. Sorry for all of you who live out there, but it was crazy. People were out there that I knew. They said they just couldn't even come out of their apartments at certain points in time during this whole COVID pandemic. So the lockdowns were very serious there, but British Prime Minister Boris Johnson just announced the end of COVID-19 measures, including, listen to this, mandatory face masks in England as he looks to live with the virus after a peak in cases caused by the rapid spread of the Omicron variant. So he's like, we're done with this, right? We're done. And in the United States, we should be done with this, at least for now. I think we get what's going on here. You know, we've also been told over and over again, including the CDC guys, including the CDC, that if you're wearing a cloth mask, which most of you are doing, some of you are wearing those little thin paper, you know, the ones that the doctors wear, but these, I think the ones that we're getting are like, I don't know, they're made in some kind of warehouse somewhere in China or somewhere in Pakistan, and they're really thin, and they sell them at 7-Eleven for like 50 cents. They're not stopping anything. They might make you feel better, but it's really not stopping anything. How many people do you know that have had the vaccines, wear the masks, douse themselves in all kinds of disinfectants, clean everything with Clorox, still get Omicron? Yeah, I know. A lot of us. My husband, he has a vaccine. He has the vaccine. He had everything. I don't know why I didn't get it. I did not. But my husband ended up getting Omicron, right? I don't know if I had some kind of superpower against it. I have no idea this time around because I was right there with him. And he tested twice and he was visibly like, you know, sniffling, but it was like a head cold. And he stayed locked down until he got better. My poor guy, I felt terrible for him. And, you know, but people are getting it. You're not going to be able to stop it. And the CDC admitted to that. They're like, look, unless you have an N95 mask, unless you have a specific mask, and you know you got to get fitted for those. So when you're a nurse and you go in and they get you the N95, they make sure that N95 fits. A lot of us are not professionals. We do not know how to fit that N95. I put on an N95 that I got from someone. I look like a duck. And I know there were gaps everywhere. I was just like, I don't even know what I was doing. But, you know, it worked, I'm sure, somewhere. I wore it a few times. So I think we need to think about what's happening across the board. People are standing up in Austria. Australia is a mess. I've talked about this on past podcasts. It's like they've gone back to the old colonial prisons in Australia. Nobody's like allowed out. I'm concerned about the United States and how far we've gone and how crazy we've gone on these mandates and using fear to gain power. The federal government has certainly been good at that. Their lessons have been learned by communist China. I think the communist Chinese are brilliant at striking fear into the hearts of their populace and getting them to do whatever they want. I think we need to follow the example of the British and we need to move in that direction. Boris Johnson realizes this is it. I mean, look at what's happened to our economy. Look at what's happened to the economies around the world. Look at the inflation in the United States. Look at the failure of some of our governors in our mostly in Democratic states, sorry to say. I mean, Texas is right back. I'm in the state of Texas. They're back to where they were before COVID. Very few states are at that position, and they're all Republican states. But we are back. People are working. Nobody here is really freaking out about, you know, whether or not you have your mask on your face. It's a nice world here. It's like the free state of Texas. I know people say that about Florida, too. And there's other states like this great state of Tennessee that's like that as well. Anyways, it's just my point. I'm bringing it up. I think we need to get back to where we need to be. We need to understand that we can't let fear dominate us. And we need to, I think, as best as possible, avoid any more lockdowns. And we need to learn to live with this virus the way that we live with other viruses, right? Unless it's something so extreme, so extraordinary. Do we ever think of doing what they did again? I mean, and I would suggest never. Because look at what happened to our children. Look at the abuse rates that went up. Look at the suicides that ran up. Look at the drug abuse that went up. Look how many people lost their lives. Not from COVID. And by the way, look at the failure, even statistically, in reporting on COVID death. Now we're seeing that it was skewed. It was skewed. Sorry. It was skewed. Anyways, that's just my point of view. That's what, you know, I wanted to bring that across. I'd like to know what you think. I really, really would like to know what you think. I want to know what you think about the border. I want to know what you think about what's happening in our country as far as with, you know, the mandates. And if you live in one of those states like California, Michigan, you know, Pennsylvania, sorry, but if you live in a state where you feel like the pressure of the Democratic government is coming down on you, right? Where these Democrats are just pushing and pushing and pushing and trying to seize more power. I want to hear from you. I want to tell your stories. right? And don't forget, next week, Sean Hannity, three-part special that we're going to have on the border. I don't want you to miss it. You got to listen to this. It's just that important. Remember, you can get everything you need at sarahacarter.com. That's sarahacarter.com. All the latest stories and all the links to my social media, as well as the podcast. When you get there, download the podcast, right? The Sarah Carter Show. Download that podcast. Leave your reviews. I will be reading them myself. And again, thank you so much for being a part of this show. Thank you so much for letting me be a part of your life. I want to bring you the best stories right here. We are taking the story back, folks. We are taking the story back. God bless you. God bless our great nation. And God bless the state of Texas. Today, I'm joined by Rebecca Weber, the CEO of the Association for Mature American Citizens. It's also known as AMAC. The most important question, I think, for so many people out there is, how much does AMAC membership cost? What does it cost the regular consumer?
Yeah, so for $16 a year, okay, or less, you can join at a 1, 3, or 5-year membership. You get a couple of things. You get the benefits. You get a great subscription to a magazine. So for $16, you're going to receive a bi-monthly magazine. But your voice is now going to be heard in Washington. We take our marching orders from you. If you stand for faith, family, freedom, if you believe in the Constitution, if you believe in the greatness of America, if you believe in individual freedoms and everything you just said, Sarah, $16 is not a lot of money to join the 2.3 million members that are really fighting hard to ensure that America remains the best country in the world.
Rebecca, thanks so much for being with me today. I'm honored to have you and AMAC as a sponsor for the Sarah Carter Show. You know, for more information, folks, visit amac.us/Carter.